Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 84. And today we're going to talk about an important topic, which is what does the New Testament teach us about preaching? What does the New Testament itself say about preaching? And we've got a lot to talk about today. Now, as you'll notice, I'm not in my normal surroundings, and I apologize for the background sounds and noises. I've had to stop at a service station on the M25 for some refueling, partly for my car and partly for myself. So, fortified by a cup of tea, I would like to talk for a little bit about what the New Testament teaches us about preaching. And there are many words used in the New Testament for teaching, preaching, conveying the good news, speaking about the gospel. There are lots, and we won't go into all of them, but I want to look at four over the next 4 weeks. And today, one in particular, and that word is caruso or carusone. This word is found in 60 different verses, 61 times in 60 verses in the New Testament. So it must be an important word about preaching. Let's talk about the definition of the word first, then a couple of examples of how it's used, and finally what that might mean for us. Firstly, definitions. To announce, to proclaim, a herald's proclamation, which we will focus on in a moment, to bring news, to bring something, some news, some facts that brook no argument and no discussion. So it's just a presentation of what is factual is one side of it. To publish, to proclaim, to announce openly and publicly. That's interesting. To noise abroad, to use a rather old phrase. To announce as a matter of doctrine, inculcate and preach, to proclaim, to tell. And this nuance on this particular application in New Testament Greek, to publicly announce religious truths and principles whilst urging acceptance and compliance. Well, that's a pretty good definition of preaching right there in itself. I'll give it to you one more time. To publicly announce religious truths and principles while urging acceptance and compliance. Quite a few different ideas there for that one word, caruso. So what are we going to focus on here? Well, two examples where the word caruso is used in the Gospels. And the first is in Mark chapter 1. Let me give you the context. A leper comes up to Jesus, and Jesus heals the man in Mark chapter 1, before verse 41, 42, and so on. And then Jesus sends him away with a stern warning. And let's face it, you really ought to listen to a stern warning from Jesus, especially after he's healed you from leprosy. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest, offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. What does the leper do? I love this in verse 45. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely. Talk there is the word caruso. He began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus couldn't go anywhere openly anymore. So that's one use of the word there in the Gospel of Mark. He talked freely. Kind of couldn't stop himself. He was spreading the news. There's one example. Another is a little bit later in chapter 13. In chapter 13, Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples and his followers about stuff that's going to happen that isn't good. He says in verse 9, "You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils, flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you'll stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations." The word preached there is the translation of the word caruso. "Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what you will say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." And I think that's an important component of what I want to talk about in just a moment. But there is the word preached to all the nations, whereas earlier in chapter one, it was the man cured, talked freely, spreading the good news. Do you get the idea there of the heraldic nature, the heralding nature of what they're doing? And I want to focus on the herald part of this idea of caruso. This comes out strongly in the definitions, being a herald. Let's think about what it means to be a herald and then what that means for us as we preach and teach God's word. I suggest there are seven things that a herald knows. And do we know these things as we herald the good news? So a herald in the old days was somebody that was given a message by someone in authority and charged with taking it to another person in authority. These days, I suppose we might send an email, but in those days, it was always personal. So a herald is sent and he has sent it to this other person of authority with a message from somebody else with authority and needs to deliver it accurately. I wonder, what did that herald know? I think seven things. Number one, the herald knew that he was sent. He knew who had sent him, and he knew he was sent. Like us as preachers and teachers, we've been sent by somebody, not just our own, hopefully not our own ego or our own desires and passions, but we've been sent by God with his message. We are the sent ones. Secondly, I think the herald knew that he was sent to somebody. He knew to whom he was sent. As do we. We know that when we stand up to preach or teach, we have been sent to speak to these people at this time, in this context, with this message. Let's get on and do it and not think and worry too much about ourselves. It's not about us. It's about the person who sent us, as in God, and it's the person, the people we are speaking to. Those are the two people that matter, not ourselves. Not to get worried about ourselves, not to get insecure about ourselves, but remember who sent us and to whom we have been sent. That's the second thing. The third thing I think Harold knows is he knows his message. Whether it was committed to memory or whether it was written down on a parchment for him to hand over or to read out to the person that he was sent to, nonetheless, he knew his message. He was a messenger. He had a message, and he was going to take it to somebody and deliver it. We have a message. It's not our message. It is God's message. What a secure thing that is. Fourthly, what else did he know? He knew that the authority was with the one who sent him. In other words, the authority is not with the herald. The authority is with the one who sent him. When the person receives the herald and receives the message, they know they're not really, in a way, receiving the herald. They are receiving the one who sent the herald. That is the person with the authority. Similarly with us who preach and teach, our authority is not in ourselves. It is not even in what we say precisely. It is in he who sent us. We have his message, and he is the one who has authority. Fifthly, what else does the herald know? He knows to be humble. A herald doesn't turn up, da-da-da-da, here I am, I'm important, listen to me. A herald, if he's wise, will turn up with the message and bow humbly before the one to whom he's going to deliver the message and humbly declare the message. It's the same thing with us. We should turn up with confidence, and more on that in a moment, but we turn up humbly, knowing it's about the one who sent us and those to whom we are sent. It's about the message, not about us, the messenger. And so we metaphorically, perhaps, bow before our congregation as we get up to speak. Perhaps don't do that physically, but in your heart, bow before them, knowing that you are the servant, you are the messenger, and they are the ones that matter. He knows to be humble. Sixthly, I think the herald also knows to be bold. There's no point in the herald turning up with a great message from a great source of authority, turning up to this other person, and then, well, I guess it doesn't really matter. He's mumbling his message, you know, King. That's not going to convey the message clearly to the person receiving it, and it's not going to do honor to the one from whom it is sent. And so we proclaim our message boldly, as a herald should, with great boldness, knowing that we've been sent with authority and that we've been sent with the specific purpose of delivering our message to this person or these people. We have boldness and courage, not because of who we are, but because of who has sent us and the importance of the message. Seventhly and finally, I think the herald knows that the response to his message is not his responsibility. How the person receives it is up to them. As long as he delivers it with humility and boldness, knowing from whom it came, and does it accurately, then the response is out of his hands. There's that old saying about don't shoot the messenger. Sometimes the messengers do get shot, and sometimes we get wounded by the responses. But we must know deep down that it's not about us. If we've been faithful to the person who sent us, to God who sent us, if we've been faithful in being humble and bold in the way we deliver it, if we've been faithful in delivering it accurately, then however the person responds, however the congregation responds, however the people who are there on the day that we speak respond, is their responsibility and not ours. Let's not get too bent out of shape when things don't go as we had hoped. So those are the seven things that a herald knows. What do you think? Do you think the herald knows more than that? Have I missed some things out? Are there some other aspects here of being a herald that would be useful to discuss and think about? I'd like to encourage us to share your thoughts on this blog, on this podcast, on this video. Leave your ideas, because I would like to know them, and I know that all the other people who watch these and listen to these would like that too. It's best to leave a comment wherever you see or hear this recording, because then we can learn from one another, and we learn best when we learn in community. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this, and I do hope the unusual circumstances have not been a barrier to what we've been talking about today. Caruso, why not go and proclaim the message the next time you get a chance to speak as a herald, with confidence, with humility, and with great joy. I am going to finish my refreshment. I think my car is nearly ready for the next part of its journey, and I am too. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.